Let this teach you the fear of God. What Jesus is saying here in this, it's the praise of men that you sought. It's the praise of men that you got. The transaction is over. That is as good as it's going to get for you.
Many of us love to put on masks in order to disguise our flaws and impress others. Oh, we love the accolades, the attention, and the praise. But yet, let's contrast that spirit of self-promotion with the self-denial of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. Today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green completes a series titled The Sin of Spiritual Hypocrisy. Well, there's certainly much we need to hear about Jesus Christ's warning about spiritual hypocrisy. So let's join Don to guide us through Matthew chapter 6.
The hypocrite practices make-believe and puts on a show for his chosen audience. He wants men to congratulate him on his deeds of righteousness. He goes out of his way to make sure that someone sees. He somehow calls attention to himself so that people see and say, "Wow, you're such a godly young man. Wow, you're such a godly woman." Christ sees right through that with his omniscient eye. And look, there is no doubt in my mind, and I am sure there is no doubt in your mind either. In a place like this, in a place like Grace Community Church, this is a constant temptation for you and me to deal with. Well, listen, you've got to get beyond that mindset. You have got to get beyond that, because you know what? It doesn't matter what the rest of the people at Grace Community Church think about you if you're being a hypocrite. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the elders commend you if at heart you're a hypocrite. And so you have to look beyond even a rich spiritual environment like this and examine your heart and make sure that you are living your spiritual life to the glory of God and not to the praise of men, even the men at Grace Community Church. If you don't live that way, Jesus says you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. And the problem isn't the men and the women at Grace Community Church seeing you. The problem is at the core of your heart and your motivation that you want and love their praise and affirmation. You see that, right? You realize why that's a particular problem in an environment like this. Well, what you have to understand is as a disciple of Christ, you have a spiritual duty on your heart imposed by Christ himself to guard against that and to take steps so that you don't live that way. You must make a conscious break from it. You have to check your motives and say, boy, is that speaking about me? Do I like the praise of men? Do I like, oh, you're such a godly so-and-so? Well, realize that if you find yourself drawn to that kind of praise and affirmation, Jesus is putting his finger right on the heartbeat of your life. Now, what do you do with that? This isn't designed simply to, Jesus doesn't simply convict us. He shows us how to avoid it, how to get through that spiritual minefield without getting your leg blown off. That was a good point, wasn't it? I like that. That was Jacob. Even at that young age, you see children responding to the Word of God. It's very encouraging. Jesus said, check your motives. Now, how is it that you get beyond that? You know, and for some of us, that love of the praise of men is a besetting sin, and it grips our hearts, and we want men to notice us. And if they don't, it depresses us. Well, how do you break the power of that? Well, Jesus gives it to us right here in the text of what he says. That brings us to our second point. When you check your motives, you have to do a second thing as you examine your heart on this. Secondly, you have to choose your reward. Choose your reward. You have to decide what it is that you want to receive as the result of your outward devotion to Christ. What is it that you want? You have to choose your reward. Now, Jesus makes a contrast as we go through the passage here. You choose your reward. On the one hand, you could choose the applause of men. The applause of men. That's a subpoint here. Choose your reward. You could choose the applause of men. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Verse 2, he says, look at the end of it. He says, "They sound a trumpet so that they'll be seen as giving, so that they may be honored by men." Look at the end here, verse 2. "Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." They gave for the praise of men. They got the praise of men. They have their reward in full. Same thing in verse 5. Jesus keeps repeating himself here. "The hypocrites love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." Verse 16, he says the same thing. Remember, he's illustrating the bigger point here. He says, "These hypocrites neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." Three times, verse 2, verse 5, verse 16, he says, they have their reward in full. They are doing these things for the goal of being noticed and honored by men. And Jesus says, when men honor them, this is where it gets bad. They have their reward in full. What does that mean? They have their reward in full. Well, quoting from an ancient source on this, this is a technical expression, the reward in full. This is a technical expression that is regularly employed in drawing up a receipt in a business transaction. When Jesus says they have received their reward in full, it is though they had already been given a receipt and they have absolutely no claim to further reward. End quote. It's a business transaction language. I paid you for what you gave me. You have your receipt. We have no further thing to do with each other. There's no further claim that I can make on you. And what Jesus says is, when they've received their reward in full, he's saying this. And listen, this will shake you to the core. At least it should. It shakes me to the core when you realize that he's talking about something as subtle as motivations and why we do things, and we construct this elaborate scaffolding of what our spiritual lives look like, and it's all designed for men to see it, and let this frighten you. Let this teach you the fear of God, beloved. What Jesus is saying here in this is, he says, it's the praise of men that you sought. It's the praise of men that you got. The transaction is over. That is as good as it's going to get for you. All of this spiritual stuff done so that men would notice you and praise you and honor you for it. Men whose breath is in their nostrils. They say, "Wow, look at you." And you soak it up. Oh, he noticed. And Jesus steps in at that very crucial moment and says, that's the end of the transaction. You have no reward with God whatsoever in that. And listen, beloved, I say this for your spiritual well-being. I say this in echo of what Christ first said. I say this as a man in need of grace himself. When you have your reward in full, when you get the stamped receipt and the men have praised you and moved on 5 minutes later to the next thing that occupies their mind, understand that the praise of men for your spiritual life is going to seem awfully empty when you stand before Christ and he hands out his rewards and says, "You already got yours. You were after the praise of men. They praised you. You got what you wanted. You have no claim on me." Jesus says these things to rebuke us, for sure, but he also says it to warn us so that that awful result will be avoided, so that you can avoid that. Here's a quick check to understand what our Lord is talking about. Just on a real simple, basic level, and his illustrations are very plain in the text that I read. Here's a question that all of us will cringe at. Are your prayers more eloquent when someone else is listening? Why is that? Why is it that your eloquence is suddenly magnified when you have an audience of men as opposed to when you're on your knees before God alone? Why is that? How could you possibly explain that? Well, I want to edify the please. You want the brothers to praise you is why you pray better when others are listening. Have you ever pretended to put something in the offering plate when it passes? I had a man tell me, a church leader, not from here, said, yeah, I do that, but I do it so that I, you know, by example, people would see and they would follow and, you know, they would learn to give. Well, no. No, you do that so that men will think that you're putting it in the plate. You do it so that men will notice. That's what you're saying. If you're not going to put anything in the offering plate, fine, don't. Don't. You know, we'll meet budget one way or another. But don't compound, don't engage in sin that Jesus specifically warns you against by pretending to be somebody that you're not. Just stop it. Stop the hypocrisy. We serve a great and magnificent Lord. We serve a glorious Christ. And he should be served with sincerity of heart that's worthy of his humble earthly life. And we shouldn't use pretended devotion to him so that we get praise from men. You're so godly. You're so faithful. Oh, please. Please. Don't live that way. Guard your heart, Jesus says. Be on guard against this and calculate life so that you won't live that way. There's a different reward to seek. This is gloriously liberating, as convicting as everything else has been up to this point. What comes here now in what Jesus teaches is so greatly, profoundly encouraging. It is so liberating. It is so life-transforming that it will slowly loosen your fear of men and give you a sense of, in a proper sense, spiritual independence and confidence to live righteously, whether men notice or not. There's a different reward to seek. We said, choose your reward. You said you could choose the applause of men, but Jesus says that's a dead end, right? You all see that's a dead end. There's a different reward to seek. And secondly, what Jesus says is to seek the approval of God. Seek the approval of God. And here Jesus pulls back the curtain, pulls back a veil, and you see the great faithfulness of God to his humble disciples in a way that can only make you love him more. And just to completely change your motivations and orientations so that you are... You see through the praise of men for what it is. You turn your back on that so that you could live in a quiet pursuit of the glory of God. Look at what Jesus says here in chapter 6, verse 4. I love this so very much. Jesus says in verse 3, when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. No one's going to see it. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What reward do you want? Do you want the praise of men, or do you want your reward from your Father? Do hide your giving, as it were, so that men won't see it. And when you're doing that, you're mortifying that sinful desire for the praise of men. If you make it so that they can't see you, then they can't praise you for it. That mortifies that desire, and then you open yourself up to the blessing of God. Our omniscient God sees that and says, ah, as it were, he says, I see what he's doing. I like that. I'm going to reward that. And Jesus says it again in verse 6. When you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Get someplace where no one can see you praying. Do that, he says. And what's the outcome of that? What's the reward of that? Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Same thing in verse 17. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. Don't look gloomy. If you're weighed down and that's why you're fasting, don't put on that appearance before men. Wash your face so that your fasting won't be noticed by them, but by your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Understand, believe, and trust that you serve a loving, gracious, heavenly Father who understands the motives of your heart. And as you withdraw these things from the notice of men for the sake of pleasing Him and being alone in intimacy with Him, understand that God is not indifferent to that. In some manner, in the outworking of His providence in this life and in the eternal rewards that He gives us in the life to come, He will reward you and honor you for living that way. And all of a sudden, private prayer becomes a matter of a consciousness of, wow, God's going to reward me for this. Out of the fruit of true repentance, you stop doing spiritual deeds to be noticed by men. And whether men notice or not is so secondary that it does not affect your joy in it. Now, you may not realize it. That's part of my responsibility as the teacher here today. But there is such great encouragement for you in this principle. For those of you that are faithful believers and have been overlooked, the opportunities for service just haven't been there because you've chosen not to promote yourself. And men have neglected and have missed it. God hasn't missed it. God sees your faithfulness. For that stay-at-home mom, consumed with the routine duties of keeping house, out of a sense of faithfulness that says these children are a stewardship from God and I need to be faithful to this. You know, wiping stuff off your blouse day after day after day after day, and no one seems to notice. Understand that here is your motivation, here is your encouragement in that. For that lonely widow confined at home, wondering why you're still here, what's the point of this? For the man who's lost his job and the status that used to go with it, but's trying to live a godly life all the same. Look to this passage, see the character of your God, and find your encouragement. Find the profound encouragement that is embedded in this. Our Heavenly Father sees our faithfulness even when men do not. And our Heavenly Father says by His own character that I will reward that faithfulness. Your faithfulness in those day-to-day mundane opportunities, your faithfulness in those mundane, seemingly unnoticed spiritual disciplines. Jesus says, God sees that and stores up a reward for you that He will give without fail. And when you start to understand that, when that starts to sink in, all of a sudden, you find yourself increasingly drawn to a desire for intimacy with God, and you really don't even want men to intrude upon it in the first place. Because there is something so sacred and holy and precious about it. Something so sacred and holy and precious about being faithful when no one notices. And you're conscious of the fact, God, you see this. God, I'm trusting your word that you're going to honor this. I'm trusting you for an undeserved reward that you say you'll give to those who love Christ and live this way. All of a sudden, the preciousness of walking alone with God transcends in value anything that this world could ever say to you. And the approval of God, the favor of God, the smile of God, as it were, on your life is more precious than all the jewels in the world. All the gold and silver and all of the accolades and honors and plaques from men is dung by comparison to the purity and the glory of that kind of intimacy with Christ. And if men don't notice, hey, men don't notice. That actually makes it easier. So you see, beloved, we're not talking about external conduct here. We're talking about a total transformation of your heart and purified motives for the things that you do. And the ingredients to live out this kind of repentance are so simple. It is so simple that a child can understand them. At the core, it's this simple. Father, I believe your word. I read what Jesus says here and I believe it. I accept it at face value. I know it to be true. Father, I fear you. I fear the consequences of disregarding Jesus' teaching on this. I am afraid of living my life for the praise of men and squandering the spiritual opportunity I have for reward from you. I'm afraid of that. I know that I'm sinful. I know that I'm prone to that. And I fear how seriously you take this. I fear you. I believe your word and I fear you. I don't want to be like that. Oh, God, I do not want to be like that. Father, I trust you. You say, Christ said here, you see in secret and you'll reward me. He said it not once. He said it not twice. He said it three times. This is absolute truth upon absolute truth upon absolute truth. I trust you for that. I trust you so much that I'll orient my life around the certainty that you will bless me as I honor your word, even as I'm honoring you in the unseen depths of my heart. Even when men don't see, Father, you will see the purity of my loyalty, the purity of my faithfulness, the purity of my desire to be exclusively devoted to your glory, to the disregard of the praise of men. I trust you to see that and to honor your word when you say you'll reward that. And if I don't see it in this life, in anything to do with it in this life, Lord, I don't care. I'll be happy to see how you are faithful at the judgment seat of Christ. And all of a sudden, your whole perspective on why you do what you do in spiritual life is totally radically changed forever. There is contentment for your soul, even if the world is passing you by. And as you move from the applause of men to the approval of your heavenly Father as the deepest motivation of your heart, God sees it. God will reward you. And our heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, will never be unfaithful. He will never deny his word. He will always be true to you. This reward for this kind of life is certain. And it is worthy of pursuit, even if the world passes you by. That is a measure of the glory of Christ and how worthy he is of your deepest, most exclusive heart devotion.
That's Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Jesus calls us to surrender our self-promoting spirit in order to devote ourselves exclusively to the glory of God. That is at the very heart of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Well, Don, as society encourages us to become more self-centered, it can be a constant struggle to be Christ-centered.
Well, my friend, there's certainly some truth to that statement. But the encouraging thing to me is that Scripture has provided for us a way to overcome that. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." God has given us everything that we need for godliness in His Scriptures. And as a Christian, He has put His Holy Spirit within you to give you the power to overcome the influences of the world, the influences of your flesh, and the deception of the devil. So as you go forth into the day that God has ahead for you, do so in confidence that God is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure.
Thanks, Don. And friend, don't forget to visit us at thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about our ministry. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and now for Don Green, we pray that you've been encouraged today. We'll catch you next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.